Joining us on the line right now is the president and general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who had a big regulation win against Boston last night. They're in Buffalo tonight to play the Sabres. It is, of course, Stanley Cup champion with the Anaheim Ducks, Brian Burke. Brian, thanks very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm good. I apologize. I'm in an airport, so if there's a bit of noise here, I apologize in advance.
No worries.
Brian, busy day yesterday. Obviously, we heard your comments on the Boston radio station vis-a-vis. You can't mention the name, but you're in some conversation with the Boston Bruins. Obviously, people out there that the Bruins have Cabrelle high in their list. They need a point guy. If, in fact, a deal was to be made, how is the market compare, Brian, this to this time last year for players? I mean, I'm looking at prices being paid. It seems to be higher. And what are you looking for, players or picks in this deal that you can't talk about?
What's that?
The deal you can't talk about.
Yeah, exactly. I can't talk about it. So you do that when you ask the question. I mean, we've made a deal. The agent has requested radio silence on this. This is what I said on the Boston station. The question I was asked was, would we make a deal with the Boston Bruins, or were there some hard feelings about the Kessel deal? I said, no, there were not. And then we've had discussions. And then it turned to Cabrelle, and I said, what I'm going to tell you guys is, we have made a deal. The agent has requested that this be handled in confidence. The player has observed that scrupulously. The agent has observed that scrupulously, and so have we.
Brian, just when you have to work off a list, you know, and the word is there may be just one team, how frustrating is that for you? Because, you know, the way deals are made, you don't shop offers, but you talk to lots of teams. How challenging is this for you to have to work off the player giving you a short list?
The player has not given us a list.
Okay.
But he hasn't... He has insinuated to you that there is a possibility there might be a team out there.
Thomas's quote yesterday that were in the paper this morning, first he's spoken about it. He has said that he would not, want to do anything that hurt our team and would be open to a discussion with me. That's as far as it's gone.
Okay, but he also publicly said that Boston was on his list last year.
Yes.
So we assume that Boston's on his list this year.
You can assume all you want. You remember you put that word up on a blackboard, and when you assume, it's going to happen to you and me.
So, Brian, how does it work then? Do you try to talk to a number of teams, and then when you get something that's close, you go to Ricky, or how does it work here? What's the sort of the step-by-step process, or can you get into that?
Sure. The fact that the player has a no trade.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I'm not free to talk to teams about the player.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you don't want to waste your time either, though.
Well, it means at some point, if there's something that's attractive to us, I would have to go back to Rick Kern and say, what about this or what about that?
But you know that there's maybe 28 other teams that might not be attractive to Ricky or your player.
Well, get my player, Ricky, on the phone and talk about it.
You made a big trade for Versteeg. Obviously, you brought him in. You were hopeful that he was going to be an important piece. He played reasonably well. All of a sudden, Philly pick him up. I mean, it looks like, from my perspective, that it's a good trade for Philly, and it looks like it's a good deal long-term for you. The marketplace, was there a big demand? And how do you feel about, obviously, you feel good about getting the first-round pick?
A first and a third, and in our mind, the issue here was, and first, you're right, I think it's a good trade for both teams. I think Chris Versteeg can help a better team more than he helped our team. So it's not about Chris as a player. He's a good player. It's not about his try. His effort was there. It's not about him as a kid. He's a good kid. Just wasn't a fit. It's, you know how this works, Mac. Sometimes you bring a guy in, and he's not a fit, and it's no one's fault. But when that happens, your obligation as a general manager is to say, okay, it's not working out, so let's fix it. And we felt that this package from Philly was a fair deal for both teams and would not be there on the 28th. We believe that they would have gone in a different direction and acquired a forward at a cheaper price. We shopped this deal hard without identifying the team. We told teams we had a first and a third. We fleshed it out with every team that inquired about Chris Versteeg and then took the deal. So we're happy with it. And, from my perspective, it was not a fit, but that's no one's fault. That happens.
Brian, last night Grabowski came back. I saw the second hit. He took two big hits from Chara. The second one, I saw him go down. He made an attempt to get up. He fell again, and I said to myself, he's done for the night. There's just no way he comes back. He doesn't miss a beat. Just your initial thoughts when you first saw that second hit.
Well, when you see a player, you know, he's getting up like a young colt. He's kind of rubber-legged, and your first assumption is, well, he must have got his bell rung. But there are certainly instances, I think our fans should understand the concussion protocol when a player comes back to the bench, whether it's apparent like that one where everyone in the building sees it might have been a headshot, or it might be a hit that you don't see as flagrant, and the player comes back and reports any symptoms of concussion. Our trainer is Andy Plater. He's first rate. Went right to Gravel and said, how are you? He had total recall. He said, a puck hit the crossbar. And, you know, like total recall of the situation. No blackout, no loss of memory, no dizziness, no nausea. And but so the trainer said to him, are you good to go? He said, yeah, I got it in the jaw. He said, I just got it in the jaw with disoriented. I'm fine. No symptoms. No
but
symptoms.
The symptoms were the rubber legs, though. That wasn't a concern at all?
I'm sorry, Doug. I didn't know you went to medical school.
No, that wasn't Doug.
No, that was Kipper.
Oh, Kipper.
Don't start throwing stones.
I'm not sure either one of you went to medical school. Our trainer is supposed to examine the player and make a determination. If he has concussion symptoms at all, he's done for the night.
Berkey, you acquire Gardner, a young prospect from a first-round pick of yours from Wisconsin. In talking to people, a great skater, good first pass. Obviously, Anaheim had a lot of depth on the back end with young kids, with Fowler's emergence. They've got Spezza there. They've got Schultz there. They got the Clark kid in Syracuse that have all been good prospects for him. It allows the movement of this player. Just give us your feeling on him when the last time you saw him play, and what are your thoughts?
Just what you said. This is a guy, I think, I'm not sure. You know, Schultz is the guy, I think, that made him expendable in their minds because they see a lot of both players. They play together. They feel he's really emerged, and it's made Jake expendable. That's fine with us because we believe he's going to be a good NHL defenseman. He is a phenomenal skater. That is his stock and trade. That's what he's famous for. If you ask any scout, tell me about Jake Gardner, the first thing he'll say is the kid can skate. He was a forward his whole life until his draft year, I believe, and then they put him back on the blue line. Good first pass, as you mentioned, Mac. And this is a guy that gets back, retrieves the puck, and gets it out of trouble. He had 3 years in now. This is his third year at a top program. He played as a true freshman, which is very unusual in the WCHA these days. And we're excited about him. And his plan, I think, is what he told the coaches at Wisconsin would be to come out after this season. And then we think he'd need, you know, our hope is a half a year in the American League, Keith Ollie type progression, and then he'd be ready to play.
Yeah, I got to go back to Grabowski here. Sorry, Berkey. And I'm not stating I'm a medical doctor or anything, but just in light of everything that's happened the last little while, including Crosby, wouldn't you want to follow up just on the side of being extra cautious?
How so?
Evaluation.
You asked the question. I'm saying how so. He had no symptoms after the hit, none post-game, none this morning.
But Mike Green got hit in the head and claimed the exact same thing, and now there are 24, 48 hours. Crosby played the next night and claimed that he was fine, too. So all I'm saying is that we've seen guys in the past, after 2 or 3 days, all of a sudden find symptoms that they didn't necessarily have. Dave Perron in St. Louis was another example. All I'm just saying, in light of everything that's happened, wouldn't you want to just follow up just to be sure?
Yeah, and that's what the trainer did. As far as, like, this is a player with no symptoms. I know it made for a great discussion for you guys after the game last night. And what I'm telling you is, this is something the listeners should know. The last question, we're the only team in the league that does this to my knowledge. The last question I ask a doctor before he returns a player to play. So Mike Brown is coming back from a shoulder. Or Colton Orr with a concussion. The last question I ask the doctor is, if this were your son, would you allow him back on the ice? We don't put players at risk. Mikhail Grabowski is too important to us to put him at risk. You can get your bell rung and not get a concussion. It happens, and any doctor will tell you that. This player reported no symptoms post-game, post-hit, or this morning. If I were worried about him, if the trainer were worried about him, the trainer doesn't need any authorization to sit the guy out on our team. If any player says he can't go, he doesn't go.
And how's Colton Orr doing?
We're going to do some follow-up tests. You know, his agent gave an interview yesterday, gave out a little more detail than we normally would, but he's going back for some testing in a week or so, and we're not allowing him on the ice till the doctors tell us he's cleared to play. There's no gamble on this. It's not a knee. It's not a shoulder. Same thing with Gravel. You know, it's not a knee that we can repair. This is a player's brain. If we had any worries about Gravel last night, the trainer doesn't need any authorization from me or the coach to shut a guy down. He turns to the coach and says he's done for the night.
Brian Burke's our guest, president, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You mentioned Chris Versteeg, the fit, whether it works, whether it doesn't. I want to ask you about Mike Komisarek. It was very difficult to judge his season last year because of how quickly it was derailed. You had talked about maybe he was trying to do too much when he initially got here. Then he's out for the season. I mean, he's gone from having not a great start to not a great season, period. And he has a lot of years left on his term. Does the player need to play better? Does he need to play more? How would you assess where he's at, knowing there is a lot of time left for him as a Maple Leaf?
Well, first off, the one thing we were right on about Mike is his character. Like, having him in the dressing room and on our team and around our young players, he's providing the leadership that we thought we were getting when we signed him. Right now, his confidence level with the puck is very low. He's battling the puck. He's having trouble making. Last night, I thought he made some really good plays with the puck. He's been more physical lately. We've talked to him that, you know, simplify the game. When the game becomes complicated, the first thing you do is simplify it. You ask Major League Baseball people. When a guy's in a slump, they tell a player, just hit the ball right back through the pitcher's mound. Simplify the game till you get your finesse back. So we've told him to keep it simple, play hard. He's done that. He's been better recently. But we're glad Mike Komisarek is here. Like, there's no issue with him being here. We love him. Is he justifying what we paid him? That is, I think, a fair debate. But I wouldn't change having him here. This kid's a wonderful kid, and you know, he's a neat guy for us with our young team to have him in the room. That's worth a lot of money to me.
Okay. Brian, as you talk to teams, and not just about Caberle, but you're having lots of discussions with various teams, and especially when you look at the West with, I mean, it's unbelievably tight. I've never seen anything like it when you go from 4 to 7, all with 68 points. Is it players that are being thrown at you, or are you finding more draft picks being thrown your way? And how challenging is that for you when you feel you want to add real players?
Good question, Mac. I'd say right now most teams are trying to keep their teams together.
Yeah.
So they're throwing picks at you. They're trying to keep what they have on the ice or dump a mistake on you. And I'd say, well, I'd move this guy, and it's always a guy with 2 or 3 years left of big dough. But for the most part, it's draft picks. But in the Anaheim deal, you know, we weren't trying to trade Francois Beauchemin. We love Beauch. He's a great kid. And he was playing well on the defensive side for us. Again, like Como, maybe fighting the puck a bit. But they came after him. We said, well, we're not taking picks for Francois Beauchemin. If you get him now, he's going to get you in the playoffs and he'll help you in the playoffs. We need something that's close. And that's how we were able to do it. We weren't able to do that with Chris Versteeg. Mm-hmm. So we took the best package we could of assets that aren't close. These are picks. Right now, I'd say pretty well picks are the only thing we're debating. We've got a couple things going where there's live bodies.
Mm-hmm. The feeling is, Berkey, that your third-round pick that you picked from Philadelphia could be in play and you can get some help right away. Is there a player out there that can really help you with a third-round pick?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off or not. We put it in play conceptually before we had it. We floated it before we had it, and then as soon as we got it, within 60 minutes, it was in play. It was offered to a team. And that might still happen. I don't know. I can't get a sense on that yet today.
Brian,
I'm too busy doing interviews.
Final question.
And we appreciate it.
Final question from Dr. McLean. Just with respect to your goaltending, big decisions. You got Reimer. I thought he was outstanding last night. I mean, he hasn't had an off game really since he's come up. You know, a third-round pick, a 22-year-old, I still consider him a prospect for you, but a good one all of a sudden. Goaltending-wise, Gustafson with the heart issue, which may be minor. Nobody seems to know. And you got Jaguar. How do you feel about your goaltending, and what are your thoughts moving ahead here?
Well, I should ask you about Gustafson's medical condition, Dr. McLean. So,
you got to schedule an appointment.
I'm the doctor.
Well, Kiprios is the doctor. I'm just the
intern.
The radio guy.
The intern.
What I would suggest is right now, we're happy with our goaltending depth. James Reimer has been terrific. He looks, every time you see him, you say to yourself, he looks like the real deal. I remember last year, Francois Beauchemin saying, this guy's going to be a good NHL goalie. I didn't see it at the time. I'm a little slow on these things sometimes. But right now, with the two injuries, I'm not sure we can do anything at the goaltending position, but stick with what we have. UC Arenas, the bus broke his finger, so it's a four-week minimum. It is non-displaced. It does not have to be pinned or surgically repaired, but it's going to be 4 weeks, best case, and maybe as many as five or six. Ben Scrivens, the kid we signed out of Cornell, the All-American, won last night for the Marlies. He's a good player, so we're okay there for a starter. We filled in with a guy last night, a local kid, a CIS player. But I think the injuries to the two guys, the medical condition with the Monster and the broken finger for the bus, I think it means we sit tight on the goaltending situation for now. I don't see that we have a lot of options there.
See, if you would have did your degrees at Western like I did versus Harvard, you'd be a lot quicker on realizing those things.
You have a degree?
Three of them.
Do you? How do you explain this show then?
Get lost, Burke.
He's got one for each of us. Brian, thanks for doing
this
today.
Brian.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
There's Brian Burke joining us on Hockey Central.